Hi, I'm Connor, and this is Learn English with Everest, a podcast where I chat to native English speakers in real unscripted English, and then, step by step, explore the language used. This is the third in a four-part series about English for work and business. CVs, job interviews, phone and email English, chatting to clients, customers, colleagues. We've been looking at lots of different areas with all the usual vocabulary, grammar, listening practice and lots more. And this week we're going to be talking about phone English. So basically everyone hates speaking on the phone in a foreign language. It's really hard. You can't see the other person's face, their expressions, their lips moving, their body language. And these things are really, really important. So it's hard, but it's also a really good test of your English. And what can make it even harder is if you have to talk on the phone at work. So you've got all the difficulties of speaking on the phone, and then you also have the fact that your boss may not be happy if you make a mistake or get the wrong order or something like that. But don't despair. Lots of what we say on the phone is just the same small selection of phone English that we use again and again. So this week I chatted to Rob and we're going to talk you through some of the most useful phone vocabulary in English, whether you're making or receiving calls in work. And along the way, I'll explain lots of the vocabulary and idioms, phrasal verbs and other expressions that we use. And I'll also be talking about the grammar of demonstrative pronouns. So that's this, that, these and those. Very easy to confuse. And don't forget that all the material is at everestlanguageschool.com/podcast. So that's everestlanguageschool.com/podcast. So let's get to the discussion. Hi, Rob. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, it's great to be back.
So we're going to talk about phone calls this week, about phone English, something I think it's fair to say that almost every student hates. Everybody hates making phone calls. So have you had the wonderful experience of making or receiving calls in other languages where you had to speak another language?
I speak a little bit of Spanish and a bit of French, but not as well as most of our students can speak English. So I've always been afraid to make phone calls in foreign languages. But I do, sometimes we get people calling the school and they want to book a course and maybe they have no English at all. So sometimes they just, you know, start speaking to us in Spanish, even though we don't understand. And in cases like that, yeah, I've tried to answer some basic questions, but it's pretty stressful.
Yeah. So you definitely think there's a big difference between talking to someone in person in Spanish and talking to someone on the phone in Spanish?
It's completely different. Yeah, I think, when you speak on the phone, you realize how much you usually use body language and gestures, especially when you have a low level in a language, you know, trying to explain what you mean by, you know, gesturing and that sort of thing. It really helps. And when suddenly you don't have that, it's, yeah, as I said, kind of stressful and scary.
Yeah. No, I think it's pretty universal, any language, that sort of way. So we're going to be talking about phone calls, about phones in this episode. So I thought the first thing that can sometimes be a little bit confusing is some of the words we use. You know, we have the word telephone, phone, mobile phone, cell phone, landline, all of these different types of words. So what are some of the differences between a few of them?
Well, I guess telephone, it's really, it feels like a word I don't use anymore. Unless I was like physically describing the device, the object, and it would usually be for landlines, but even for describing a landline, it sounds like an old fashioned word.
We usually use phone. It's very formal or something.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me, I need to make a telephone call.
Yeah. Phone would be the word I guess we use most often now. That would describe your mobile phone, even the phone in the office, anything like that. It's a word I'd use all the time. You can use it as a verb, you know, to phone somebody or anything like that. You can say mobile as well for your mobile phone. This is something that students tend to pronounce wrong.
Mobile.
We'd say, yeah, my mobile. Cell isn't really a word that we use much in Ireland at all. It's more American English, like cell or cell phone. Some students who arrive who've maybe learned from an American teacher might use that, but in Ireland we wouldn't say that at all.
Yeah, and you may not even be 100% understood if you kind of said, hey,
can I have your cell to somebody in Ireland, they probably ask you to clarify, whereas you know, mobile is going to be understood. But then if you're in the US, I don't know, do they use mobile very much in the US? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think it's just all cell. And then landline is the fixed one, the one that doesn't move.
So landline could be the phone in your house, which most people don't have anymore, or the phone in an office.
So there are lots of basic verbs we use in relation to phone calls. So even though phones have changed lots and lots over the decades, the vocabulary has kind of stayed the same. If you think about an old phone, you can pick up the phone, pick up the receiver, and you then hang up the receiver when you're finished. And even though you don't really hang up mobile phones, we'd still use the same verbs. So to pick up a phone, to answer it, and to hang up the phone, to end the call. So you obviously know the verb to call, you can call somebody, but we often use it as a noun as well. So instead of to call and to answer, we often just say to make a call and to take a call. So, for example, it's quite likely maybe that somebody at work might interrupt a conversation and say, oh, I'm really sorry, but I have to take this call. You know, I have to answer the phone. Much more informally, we also use a couple of different words, things like shout. So to give someone a shout is to call them. So your friend might say, hey, I can't talk now, but I'll give you a shout this evening. I'll call you this evening. Bell is used that way as well. So I'll give you a bell later. It's the same sort of thing. These are both very informal, but they're useful to know as well. So getting back to Rob.
We're going to chat really about the kind of five main things you might do on a call. So this is mostly thinking about it from the perspective, obviously, of business English, of work English, but you know, you answer the phone in all sorts of situations. So you can answer the phone, you can introduce yourself, you can ask to speak to somebody, to be put through to somebody, and then you can connect, you can get put through to a new speaker, somebody you want to talk to, and then maybe if they're not there, you might leave a message. So these are kind of five different areas. So we're going to have a little chat about each of them. Some of the phrases, some of the expressions that you'll commonly need. So you work here in Everest, you answer the phone every day.
I do.
How do you normally answer the phone?
It depends on the time of day and sometimes I get it wrong. I'll usually say in the morning, I'll say good morning Everest Language School, and then introduce myself because I am not Everest Language School. So
yeah.
I normally say good morning Everest Language School, Rob speaking. And then, you know, once it's after 12 o'clock, good afternoon Everest Language School, Rob speaking. That's how I'd normally do it.
Because I think as well what students sometimes don't realize is this, the fact that good morning and good night are quite kind of not informal, but they're kind of neutral. We use them a lot, whereas good afternoon is a little bit more formal, that it's fine on the phone in a company to say good afternoon Everest Language School, but it would be quite weird to say to somebody on the street good afternoon, whereas good morning is fine for whatever reason. And you introduce yourself, you say your name, which would be pretty normal in most business situations. I guess there are other variations, you know, if it's a sort of a servicey type thing, you know, how can I help you, or how may I help you, or something like that. Or maybe you might ask the person to identify themselves. Hello, Connor, who's calling, please? Or something like that.
Can I ask who's speaking? Something like that.
That in a situation where it's a company, it's going to be formal. It's, you know, something like that. So there's going to be nice verbs like, may I ask who's speaking, and so on. So answering the phone then. You need to, if you're calling somebody, obviously, then you need to introduce yourself. And one of the things that is a constant source of confusion for students is the difference between this is Connor and I am Connor. So could you explain that a little bit? What's the difference? Why do we need to use this is or I am, or how does that work?
So normally when I'm on the phone and I'm introducing myself, I'd say, you know, hi, this is Rob. Whereas in person, you know, speaking to somebody, if I met them at a party or that kind of thing, maybe I'd introduce myself as hi, I'm Rob, you know, giving my name, rather than saying, hi, this is Rob, when I'm speaking face to face with somebody would sound really strange.
Very strange. And then the same as if I meet you, then I might be like, are you Rob? I see you at a party and I'm not sure. Yeah. I'm confirming. So are you Rob? You're standing in front of me. But I would never say, is that Rob? Because I can see you.
Yeah.
I would say that on the phone though. Say, hi, this is Connor. Is that Rob? And you can identify yourself or something like that.
Exactly.
The kind of this and that identifying yourself, and then somebody who's kind of far away, the same way as we might say about somebody at the party on the other side of the room. Oh, is that Mary over there? Because
yeah, exactly.
She's not beside us. So this and that for introducing yourself on the phone.
This and that are very important for phone calls. These are demonstrative pronouns. They're used for demonstrating, for showing or pointing out things. So you have this, that, these, and those. They are easily forgotten, especially in writing. I find that students tend to forget these a lot in writing, or not forget them, but just forget to agree them, singular and plural. So they're very straightforward. You know, you have the ones that are near, this one here, and these ones here. So this for singular and these for plural. And then you have the ones that are far away. So that one over there, or those ones over there. So that for singular and those for plural. The problem is that they're all very similar words. They all start with TH. They're all very short. So they're just easy to confuse. We also use them for other reasons as well, not just for space or distance. So you can say something like, oh, do you like this t-shirt I'm holding? Or do you prefer that one over there? So this is to do with space or distance. But we use it with time as well. So you might say, oh, wow, this is a great TV show, as you're watching the TV show. So it's happening now. Or you could say, wow, that was a great TV show last night. You know, that was a great TV show we watched. So you're talking about yesterday. So it's sort of temporarily distant from you. It's far away in time as opposed to far away in space. And there are other ways that we use these pronouns as well, especially that. You know, there's lots of expressions we use. You know, yeah, that's right. You know, what you said is right. Or, wow, that's interesting. Or, what's that? Or these sort of things. So we use that a lot to point at things, to demonstrate things in that way. Another way that we use this is in jokes and in stories and anecdotes and things like that. So it's sort of, it kind of signposts the conversation. So it tells you a little bit about what's going to happen next. So for example, if you tell a joke and you say, a man walks into this bar, or you say it another way and you say, this man walks into a bar, the noun that you put this with is the part of the joke that's maybe important or part of the story that's going to be relevant. So when you say a man walks into this bar, there's going to be something unusual about the bar or funny about the bar or something like that. Whereas when you say this man walks into a bar, it's the man that's important rather than the bar. And we use this in lots and lots of ways. We replace the indefinite article or the definite article with a demonstrative pronoun, with this. So maybe you tell somebody about your dream and you say, oh, I had this really weird dream last night. I had this really weird dream. I dreamt I was looking at this big red door and then this man came over to me. And we just keep replacing "ah" with the word this. So it makes it more present. It makes it, we keep kind of drawing the listener into what we're saying because it's, I don't know, because it's a story, because it's an anecdote, because we want it to be interesting. Kind of similar to why we use the present tense a lot when we talk about jokes or we talk about stories. We say a man walks into this bar rather than a man walked, because when it's the present tense, it's more now, it's more relevant. So this is another slightly more complicated use of this. But generally speaking, this, that, these, and those are used to demonstrate things. They are demonstrative pronouns. They're easy to confuse, but they are used in lots and lots of different ways, including phone English. So let's get back to Rob.
Asking for somebody then, if you are ringing a company, you're most likely going to get not the person you're looking for. You're going to get a secretary or receptionist or whatever. So you need to be put through, the phrasal verb to be put through to somebody. So we have different variations. So I was wondering if I could speak to Paul, please, or could you put me through to Paul, please? So some of these are kind of more formal, more informal. So what sort of phrases do you think would be useful to use here?
Yeah, that kind of thing of, you know, I was wondering if you could blah, blah, blah. Or, yeah, I was wondering if you could, if I could speak to this person or if you could put me through to that person. It kind of, that thing of I was wondering and then a conditional form, it creates a sort of a polite distance from the person. So it's a nice way to speak on the phone. And the thing is, when you call somebody, call an office, you don't know who you're speaking to. So you could be speaking to the boss of the company or anybody. So it's very important to give a good impression and to be polite when you're speaking. So yeah, things like that, you know, could I please be put through to this person or that person? Yeah, that kind of slightly more formal language is a good idea.
Yeah, and kind of then if you down a register a little bit, you want to be a little bit more informal, you know, is Paul available? Or I'm looking for Paul. Or and then if it's kind of friends or things like, oh, is Paul there? Can you put Paul on or something like that?
Exactly.
Put somebody on.
But you want to be careful that, you know, if you call up a company and say, hi, is Paul there? It sounds quite rude if you don't know who you're speaking to.
Yeah, I think if you knew the receptionist, you'd be like, hi, Mary, it's Connor. Yeah. Is Paul there? You know, it's much more kind of casual. So, so this is asking for somebody. And then they will hopefully connect you. They will put you through. And what might they say to get you to wait?
They might ask you to hang on a minute, or to, you know, to hold for a second, or, you know, they would be trying to put you through to somebody. So that, you know, depending on how long they expect it to take, they might ask you to, you know, wait for a minute or wait hang on a second, and then they'll connect you.
And we tend to use a minute or a second or sometimes just a sec, you know, hang on a sec, slightly more kind of neutrally. Or if you want to be a little bit more formal, we usually use the word moment, tends to be a bit more formal.
Yeah, so if they said, I'll put you on hold for a moment, that sounds quite formal. Yeah, again, if you knew the person you were speaking to on the other end of the phone, you probably wouldn't say that.
Yeah, just hang on a minute, I'll get them, as opposed to please hold for one moment and I'll blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
So formality is obviously important on the phone, especially when the other person can't see you. So the words you use are obviously going to make a big difference. You know, wait a minute is going to maybe annoy someone who's been on hold for 5 minutes. Whereas if you say, oh, if you wouldn't mind just holding on one moment, I'll be right with you. You know, it's just much more polite. You're not going to annoy the other person. Having said that, you know, the tone of your voice is obviously important too. Wait a moment, please. And, oh, wait a moment, please. You know, they're different because they're said differently. So tone of voice is important, but the words you use as well are, especially in a business context when you're talking about being formal. So the last thing that Rob and I chatted about was leaving messages.
So then if you do get through to the person, or you try to get through to the person, and there's no answer, you might want to leave a message. So this can be something relatively straightforward if you're leaving a message, because you know what you want to say. But if you're working in a company and you're taking messages, then things can be a little bit more complicated. Depending where you are, you know, if things weren't bad enough already, if you live in Ireland, you have the fun of weird, strange local names. So if I ring you and you're from Japan and I say, oh, hi, will you tell your boss that Aidan O'Shaughnessy from Omoraku Solicitors rang? And you'll go, yeah. So not too much fun.
Yeah, that's something that we face quite often, because, you know, we have students calling and they could be from anywhere in the world and have all sorts of unusual names that we've never heard before. You know, Brazilian students are especially good for this, with having about 10 names you try to write down. It could be quite tricky. So, you know, often we'd have to ask people to repeat what they said. You know, sorry, I couldn't hear that. Could you repeat what you said? Or ask them to spell things back to us. So, you know, if it's a difficult name and we're not sure if we wrote it down correctly, especially this happens also with email addresses, because, you know, if you get one letter wrong in an email address, it's not going to work. So we have to be quite careful when we're taking email addresses. So we actually have on our computers, on front of us, just printed off a list of words, like, you know, A for alpha, this kind of thing, and so that we can call back letters to people just to make sure that we've written it down correctly.
Yeah, I think we have a sort of an official Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta kind of system, but most people just use a very familiar word. You know, do you mean C for cat, or do you mean D for dog, or something like that? Yeah, especially for emails and things like that. So just to really double check all of those kind of things. So, sometimes just to be aware maybe of different variations in how people say numbers, like we have O and we have zero, and we have, you know, maybe saying 22 or 22 or things like that. Just different conventions with numbers and email addresses and so on.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a funny thing. A lot of students, even with quite a decent level of English, still won't have learned the words for saying their email address, which is quite important, especially if you're calling for jobs. You should be able to say what your email address is. So that symbol in the middle, that's called at.
Yeah.
So, you know, rob@everestlanguageschool.com. And at the end of the email address, it's .com.
Yeah.
So just
not point.
Not point. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not, and not underscore and dash and all. Yeah. If you have an underscore in your email address, you should know the word underscore.
Yeah.
Not line at the bottom or something like that. So these are all sort of useful things to know when leaving messages, taking messages, and so on.
So you've heard lots of different phone expressions. See how many you can hear now. Rob and I are going to do a quick little pretend mock phone call and try to use as many as we can. So have a listen.
Hello, Everest Language School. Rob speaking. How can I help you?
Hello, this is Connor. I called yesterday about booking a course for my friend. I was told to ask for Chris. Is he available at the moment?
If you want to just hold the line there for a second, I'll check if he's available. Hello, Connor.
Yeah.
I couldn't get through to Chris there. He's not available at the moment. Would I be able to help you?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm the details for the course. It was a booking for 2 weeks for my friend Fernando Nunez, and I wanted to go ahead and confirm the course.
Let me just check that for you now. Yes, that's all perfect. So we can go ahead with the booking. I'll send you across an invoice today, and if you get that paid by the end of the week, we can confirm the course.
Great. You can send it to my email address, which is connor12345@gmail.com.
Great. Thanks a million, Connor. Is there anything else I can help you with today?
No, that's it. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
So how many did you hear? As well as all the expressions we talked about before, we also had the word engaged, meaning that someone is on the phone. So some people, especially in American English, use busy as well. So the phone's busy or the phone's engaged. It's the same thing. So there you have it. You'll be ready for your next phone call. Don't forget, all the phone vocabulary and expressions, the grammar and everything else is on the website. It's everestlanguageschool.com/podcast. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. I'll be back next week with another episode, the final part in this Business English mini-series. Special thanks to my guest Rob, and thanks also to Nouveau Noise, who provided the theme music for the show. And if you like the show, tell your friends. Everest is on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you can come find out lots of information on the website. And yeah, tell your friends. Let them know if you like the show and maybe they'd like to listen too. And that's it. Thanks so much, and I'll see you next week for episode 8.